Well, our message for this week's going to be about the way of forgiveness. So I thought, what a powerful story. I read a story that there was a man going shopping at a local grocery store, and as he was walking around the aisles, he heard a loud crash from the aisle that was next over from him. He walks around, curious of what happened, and he sees a family and a lot of little kids in the aisle with all the soups and the tomato cans, and the kids got a little rowdy. They knocked stuff off the shelves. The shelf came crashing down, and now with all these broken bottles of tomato sauce and pasta and anything else, it's just a mess. Parents are talking amongst themselves, oh my gosh, how are we going to pay for all of this? What are we going to do? And so they're frantic, and everyone that sees us is just standing, kind of looking and talking. They're not going in to help. So the man came, offered to help clean some stuff up, kind of helped as he was doing that, the manager came up and knelt down beside the family and said, leave this be. We'll clean this up. Don't worry about it. The dad says, I don't know that we have the money to pay for this. I don't know what we're going to do. And the store manager said, don't worry about that. We have coverage for things like this. You don't owe us anything. Accidents happen. It's okay. So they went along with their family and finished their shopping. The man who was shopping at the store and he witnessed all of this immediately realized that that was a picture of forgiveness that Jesus has authored in our lives. The messes that we make, that Jesus has entered our lives and says, I've got this. You don't owe anything. I'll take care of it. I've paid for it. We're going to turn to Matthew 18. Verses 21 in your scripture. Forgiveness is a powerful thing. But Jesus set some radical definitions on what forgiveness is. So in Matthew 18, starting at verse 21, we find that Peter is asking Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? For goodness sakes. Seven times? And I think Peter thought, I'm being generous. Come on, how many times? And Jesus says, no, Peter, not seven times, but 77 times. It was an expression of completeness. It was an expression of, you don't stop forgiving, Peter. And Jesus says, now let me tell you a parable. Let me bring this home to you. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, in our economy, a talent isn't something we talk about too much. I'm not a professional in the economy of that time, but I did some Googling, and I saw that 10,000 talents, one guy actually worked it out to what that would be in current economics, around $4.5 billion, lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of money that he owed the king. Something he could not repay. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and that all that he had and payment to be made. But the servant fell to his knees and pleaded, imploring him, have patience with me. I'll pay back everything. Which the king, knowing he could not pay that back, he had pity on him. He showed mercy. The master of that servant released him and said, I forgive you. I forgive the debt. Now, let's stop there for a second. What a transformational act of forgiveness. That servant did indeed owe the king lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of money. Let's equate that, friends, to our sin. We cannot repay God for all that we have done wrong. God knows this. So as the king did for the servant, God has shown us great, great, great mercy. He's had compassion. And he forgave the debt. Now, you're thinking, this gentleman must have been just leaping for joy, just the freedom of being forgiven that much, that that's off his shoulders now, and wanting to spread that kind of love around everyone around him. But guess what the servant did? But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, the comparison here, $4.5 billion. Day's wages. Completely, radically different amount. Just a little bit of money compared to what he had just been forgiven. Seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down and did the same thing. He fell down. "Have patience with me. I will pay you." And that servant who had been forgiven the 10,000 talents, when it came to his servant who owed him just a little bit of money, he refused and he went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they went back to the king and shared what happened. Then the master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had the same mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in his righteous anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he could pay all of his debt, which he was going to be in jail forever. And he delivered him to the jailers until he could do it. And he also, he says, Jesus says that this is how my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. These are strong words from Jesus. What a reminder for us, each one of us sitting here, that we had the 10,000 talent debt before God. Forgiveness starts with the realization that I have been forgiven the 10,000 talents debt. That I have been forgiven so, so much. Because in this life, plagued with sin, we are wounded and we are hurt and we wound. Jesus ushers in a way for us to be reconciled to one another as brothers and sisters through forgiveness. And it was the forgiveness that he authored into our lives. When we see ourselves as having that 10,000 talent debt, I want to have mercy on you who may have offended me or wounded me. When I was a young man in my teenage years, and oh, let me tell you, my teenage years were something. I did some really tough things to my family. Because I knew I did these things, I felt the guilt behind them. I didn't feel like I would ever really be reconciled back to my family. I continued to chart my own course, much like the prodigal son, living out my life the way I wanted to. And at a certain point, I came to myself and I came back. And this is what my father told me. He said, "Son, I will always love you. You are always my son. And how can I not forgive you? Because I have been forgiven so, so, so much in my own life." And that was a picture of Jesus talking to me in that moment, saying, "Josh, I love you. You are my son. You will never, ever, ever be without my love. I forgive you." Friends, Jesus on the cross did not pay for our sin lightly. He paid it with his life. He paid it with his blood. And he did so not because we figured out how we should be. He paid it for us where we are at. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus doesn't love us as we should be. He loves us as we are, because we will never be as we should be. None of us will, until we come to heaven and are released from sin. Jesus loves us as we are, not as we should be, because none of us are as we should be. And we are to love others as they are and not as they should be. By showing forgiveness, we are a light on the hill. We are showing somebody the love of Christ and praying that one day, "Father, will you please ignite into the hearts of these people to whom I am forgiving, that they see your forgiveness in their life, and it will compel them to turn their life around, that the love of Christ will compel them to live out, not because of performance, not because they can pay things back, but out of gratitude that Jesus entered my life and forgave the sin, the great debt that I could never repay. And because of that, I want to love others and show that same example as Jesus did." And it is not easy. there are times the woundedness, the brokenness, the pain that someone may have caused you in your life. It's not that Jesus lightly says, oh, just forgive. He resonates with your pain. He feels it. Because he himself felt the pain of the people that were killing him. He feels the pain when I sin at him, when I chart my life in a way that's not pleasing to him. He feels that, but he loves me anyway. It's not easy. But by you forgiving, it's not condoning what somebody does. It's releasing the poison of unforgiveness in your life. That if it takes hold, that bitterness and that resentment will turn you into forgetting that Jesus forgave your 10,000 talent debt. By forgiving, we're showing what Christ did for us. And praying, God, take this forgiveness. Help me to forgive. And let this forgiveness one day, Father, please let this forgiveness be seen as an example of who you are in the life of this individual. I am undeserving. I did not deserve your forgiveness. But you gave it to me, not because I was as I should be, but because I was where I was, and you loved me there. In Genesis, there is the story of Joseph. Phenomenal story. I encourage you to read it all the way through. It's not just a musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber, although that's a pretty good musical. The story of Joseph is an amazing example of forgiveness. It's something, here you have Joseph. Joseph is the youngest son of Jacob. Now, back then, I work with a colleague at Damar Services. He is from Zimbabwe, and he has 6 siblings. And he always shares that his youngest brother is the special one, because the reason why his parents had him at their older age was the intentionality of this their youngest son is to take care of them in their old age. So, you know, my friend always jokes, yes, that's the brother that got the amazing colored coat that Joseph did in the story, the amazing coat of many colors. Well, the brothers of Joseph were quite envious of Joseph's role in the family. Joseph started having dreams. These dreams were out of the world. Joseph would say, I just had a dream. I'm troubled by it, but it's a dream. And all the dreams pointed to that his brothers, his family, would bow down to him. Well, this did not sit well to his older brothers, right? So Joseph's brothers plotted to find a way to get rid of Joseph once and for all. So they threw him in a pit. They framed a story about him being killed, found a way to sell him into slavery, and bye-bye, Joseph. We'll see who's bowing down to who. And away he goes. Father devastated, thinking his son is dead. Joseph goes on a journey. And you will read all these ways in which God intervened in Joseph's lives. Amazingly, Joseph stays true to the Lord, and Joseph is put in positions where he has an opportunity to influence those in power. And God used that brokenness, that woundedness, that horrible event that his brothers did to him in such a way to position Joseph to be where God wanted him to be. Now, Joseph is now second in command. He's working with Pharaoh. He is in a great position of power. A great famine entered the land, and guess what? His brothers needed help. So his brothers come, not realizing that they are seeing their brother, Joseph. Now, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. You're in a position of power now. These are your brothers who just left you for dead, sold you into slavery, didn't care about you. Do you think there might be some stuff there? Yeah. Joseph went through some time kind of teasing his brothers out. He didn't reveal his identity right away. But the end of the story, Joseph tells his brothers this. What you, my brothers, meant for evil, God meant for good. When people wound us, we have to remember how amazing God is at redeeming pain and turning that into something that He uses for good. Being grateful for all things in life, being grateful for the easy things, for the fun things, that's the easy part. It takes really hard spiritual work to be grateful for woundedness and brokenness and pain and hurt. It's not that we just push it under the rug and we don't give it credit. It hurt. It is painful when we are wounded. But God uses it to move us into a closer relationship with Him. He uses us to move it into the reality that of seeing what Jesus did for me and did for you. And He puts it in our life in a way that can bring it to the present moment that we're in. Rebecca and I would not be married had we not gone through broken roads and pain and woundedness. And so when I look back now on my life of times in which I screamed, God, why are you letting this happen to me? I hate you and I want you out of my life. God says, I'm here. I know, Josh, but I have a plan. I've got you. I love you. I'm not letting you go. No matter what you've done, I love you. I gave my life for you. I'm here. I feel your pain. And there we break. There we realize true love. And God uses those times and those moments of brokenness, and it leads us to another season of our life, moving us to Him. And then we can be grateful that in those moments and in those times, it's brought us to the present moment that we're in today. That's what we have to be grateful for. A loving Father who will not give up on you, who will not stand away from you, who will not say, you've done too much, you can't pay me back, get away from me, I don't love you anymore. He always says, I love you, I'm here for you, and I offer my forgiveness free of charge because my Son has paid for it in full. Respond to that. Come to me in that. Embrace my forgiveness and love. Lean on me. Believe in me that you may not perish, but you have everlasting life. That you will live in the freedom that I want you to have, and that you will stop being imprisoned and in chains by the things that the world offers. The doors are open to the jail cell of your life. Come out. Come to me. Embrace me. And if you go back into that jail cell, the door is not shut. It's still open. And I'm going to be right here saying, come home. Come home. You don't have to be in that jail cell anymore. He loves us as we are, not just as we should be, because we will never be as we should be until we are home with Him in heaven. One of the greatest tactics the enemy uses, especially in the church, is unforgiveness. Division in the body breeds poison in the soul of the church that divides. I want to be straight with you all right now. If there is unforgiveness in this church, if there are woundedness and pains that has existed and you have not gone to be reconciled with that person, that you do so now. That you realize that you are the one with a 10,000 talent debt and Jesus forgave you, and will you go and forgive your brother and sister in Christ? Will you have an attitude of forgiveness to those around you? Will you realize that we, none of us, are perfect, or as we should be? We are human beings, and we all are in need of the grace of Jesus. If you hold on to resentment to anybody in this church, ask for forgiveness. Seek reconciliation now. This church should not be destroyed because of unforgiveness and resentment. This church is the body of Christ, and may we live it out. Forgive one another. Talk to one another. If somebody has sinned against you, go to them one-on-one and talk to them about what it is, giving opportunity for reconciliation. If they don't hear you, Jesus gives us another offering. Take somebody with you. Talk to them. Seek reconciliation. If they continue not to hear you, that's when we bring it before the church. And if that person is still resistant to repentance, then we will treat them as a tax collector and Gentile, meaning that we're going to withdraw fellowship for the purpose that they will come back and realize their sin. We do not deal with someone's sin by gossip, by backtalking, by backbiting, by hearsay. We talk to the person one-on-one. Seek reconciliation. This honors God. I want us to close our eyes right now. I want us to close our eyes, and I want us to let God consume our hearts and minds right now, and I want you to pray this with me. God, I am so sinful. You know my heart better than I know it myself. You have entered my life anyway, and you have forgiven me. You share your love with me when I don't deserve it. God, am I holding on to resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness? Does that poison, is that in my heart? Will you bring to my mind faces that I need to seek reconciliation with? Will you bring to my mind faces of people that I need to forgive? Because the poison of unforgiveness is just too much. It's controlling my life. It's dividing me in my relationships. Father, are there people in my life that I have sinned against? Will you bring those faces to my mind? Father, will you help me go and put my pride away and ask for forgiveness? Father, it's not easy. You know that. You know that we can't do this in it ourselves, and so you tell us that you are inside of us to work in us so that we can will and act according to your great purpose. It's you, and we just rely on your power for this, that you would heal us from the inside out, that you would restore relationships, that you would humble us to seeing our sin so that we, out of gratitude, accept that forgiveness in which you granted, and that we will pour that out into the lives of other people. Heal us from the poison of unforgiveness and sin and bitterness and resentment. Oh, and Father, thank you. Thank you that you tell me that when I confess my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And thank you that you forgave my debt with your life. And may my life always be pressing towards showing my gratitude for you and always remembering the great love that now compels me not to live for myself, but to live for you. Thank you for family. Thank you for making us a family. Amen. Friends, as we leave today, I hope you know that what I just said was preaching to myself. I hope that God has used these words to put on your heart where He wants them to be. I don't know everyone and where it may fall, but trust God. If He's calling your heart today to action for forgiveness, don't quench His voice. And friends, if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not said, "Jesus, I'm realizing you're calling to my heart. I know I'm full of sin, I'm guilty, and I just want to run away, and I don't think anyone will ever accept me again. What point is there?" And you're telling me, "Come home, come home. I forgive you. Let me embrace you with the forgiveness because I love you." Don't clean up the mess. Just come. I will take care of it. Just come. Just come. If that's you today, we have elders here and myself. We're going to be kind of up in the front here for a few minutes. If you want to come, talk, pray, please, please don't hesitate. Let Christ consume your heart. Don't try to clean yourself up and then decide to do it. Only He can clean us up. And it's only his righteousness that cleans us up. It's his righteousness. Friends, have a wonderful day. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let these words penetrate your heart. Go and love others today and for this week. Thank you for being here. For those watching us online, thank you for tuning in. And friends, have a great week. Thanks.